morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to everyone. Good. Everyone stand by for Mr. Jansen Brooks.
Hello, everybody. This is Jansen Brooks. This is November the 7th, 2020. We got a new president elect, and hopefully the country can move forward. You're listening to the Council of Elders show, and we're going to be talking about self-esteem today, building self-esteem, and we want to spread this message so that you can learn more about it yourself and teach others, about developing their self-esteem. Okay, now for the new listeners, for the concept of the Council of Elders, the purpose is for older people, elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to... Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, etc. Young people are especially invited to call in with questions or issues today. Our dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the Council of Elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a single Council of Elders group. So we're establishing a group of elders here in the Sacramento, California area. We'd like to have about 10 volunteers. Once we get enough volunteers, we can go to youth centers, juvenile halls, boys and girls clubs, and churches, etc. We can also be available to young adults as well. Sometimes they need advice on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, their marriages, etc. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do so. And today we're going to be talking to Mr. Keith Wagner. We're going to be discussing the subject of building a high self-esteem, why it's important. And I feel that we as a people have been beat down over the centuries. I was reading a book the other day about Henry Ford and how he started Ford Motor Company and built this great business empire. And I was thinking to myself, when Henry Ford, back in the early 1900s, was building Ford Motor Company, my people was picking cotton on the plantation. They had no, at that time, no hope of even doing anything like that. And so we've been terrorized, bombed, didn't even get the Civil Rights Act until the mid-60s. And so our leaders have been assassinated. You can look at TV and you can see a police officer step on the neck of a black man with his handcuffs for 8 minutes looking at the camera as if, I don't care if you see me, I can do what I want to do and you ain't going to do nothing about it. And so things like this has to affect our self-esteem. And so developing high self-esteem, I feel, is a way to combat these years of humiliation, discrimination, segregation, you name it. And so even though we have a new president coming in, I mean, we've had new presidents making all kinds of promises before. But at the end of the day, we got to look in the mirror and try to develop our own selves and not look on the outside for our own development. I mean, we can look on the outside, but to a certain degree, to a high degree, we got to look at ourselves. So talking about self-esteem is just one way of doing that. So when I first thought about, you know, establishing a council of elders, I didn't know that there was other council of elders groups in the country. And I'm glad I didn't know, because if I had known, I would have tried to be just like them. But our council of elders is more of a self-development where we're trying to teach people to better themselves and change their minds, to change their values so that they can do more and be more in life. So today is part two of developing high self-esteem. And if you'd like to join the conversation today, press 1 and we will let you in. But one of the things I want to emphasize today is I want to ask everybody that's listening, how do you personally enhance your own self-esteem? So think about that, and as we continue, you know, you can chime in on that. Well, now let me introduce Keith Wagner. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Keith,
good morning. Good morning. My name is Keith Wagner. I've been a counselor for about a decade now, and I'm also a mental health clinician with Sacramento County. And so, self-esteem is a subject that most of us have had impact our lives, and so I really have an interest in this subject, and I really look forward to discussing it with you this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, Keith, how would you define self-esteem?
Well, it's basically self-esteem is the way your overall opinion of yourself, your self-worth, how you feel about your abilities, and just in general, you know, your confidence in self.
Right,
and,
right.
Basically, it kind of starts in your early childhood, forming the way your thoughts or perceptions of self, how people react to you, your experiences at home and in school, your age, the roles, status in society, and media messages are important also as well.
Right, right. So it's a part of to see yourself as worthwhile and to have higher a higher view of yourself. If you receive mostly negative feedback and are often criticized, teased, or devalued by others, you're more likely to struggle with poor self-esteem. And
absolutely.
I know that this is something that goes across everybody. You could be rich, poor, black, white, fat, skinny, or whatever, and have low self-esteem. And that's something that, you know, this show today is about educating people to start researching it themselves. We can't cover this subject in an hour, but we can start a ripple effect, hopefully, so that people will start to study it themselves and use it, you know, the benefits of it themselves. So in
absolutely.
Your work,
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in your work, have you come across ways and tips to help people to develop their self-esteem?
Absolutely, I have. I work within the prison of Vacaville State Prison, and one of the things that a lot of people come, you know, a lot of crimes are committed by people that have low self-esteem. And so we're, what we do is we work on cognitive restructuring. And basically what that is kind of working with the thought process, how people respond to, you know, the inner dialogue that voice inside your head. A lot of people call it different things. Sometimes they call it that the inner dialogue. Some people call it the message within. There's a lot of different. But basically what we do is we work with CBT and cognitive restructuring to help people challenge those messages that they get. You know, that I'm not worth it, or I'm less than, or, you know, I'm not better than the next man, or I can't do this. It's that automatic voice that you kind of wrestle with. It's like an angel and the devil on one side. So it's that voice that we kind of wrestle with, and we want to challenge that thought process. And we want to do things, you want to tell yourself, hey, look, I'm just as good as the next guy. Hey, I have the ability to do this. And after you start challenging it, you start asking yourself questions. So why can't I do it? And I can be better. And, you know, those are the things that we try to, kind of create that healthy self-esteem with.
Right. Let me just interject here, Keith. And if you're mm-hmm. listening, you want to take a pen and paper and write this terminology down. It's called cognitive restructuring. Cognitive restructuring.
Absolutely.
You want to Google it. You want to look at it on YouTube and so forth, and just, educate yourself about it. And I have a definition here. Cognitive restructuring is a core technique in cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a therapeutic process used to identify and confront negative thought patterns, help people understand that these thoughts are ineffective or disruptive, with the goal to ultimately change negative behaviors. It teaches patients how to think differently by replacing adverse and illogical thoughts or faulty thinking with more rational and positive type thinking. So that was exactly what you were just talking about, Keith. So if somebody says, for example, I don't have an education, so I can't succeed in life. So how would you counteract that?
Well, what is that evidence? Evidence by what? See, the thing is, the low self-esteem will kind of drag you. It will drag you down in your thought process. You'll have a negative little value about yourself or your opinions or your ideas. You know, when people try to provide you positive feedback, you automatically have a defense for that. You say, well, you know what? I'm not able to, I'm not capable, or you have difficulty even accepting positive feedback. And you might have that fear of failure. That will hold you back from succeeding, and not only in school, but in life in general, but in work as well. So, yeah, it's a big, major problem that people have.
Right. So as you're counseling people, what I'm hearing you say, the cognitive restructuring is one of the methods of doing that. How do you think a parent or a grandparent could maybe use this, talking to a child or a grandchild that might have low self-esteem, or even the parent or grandparent might have low self-esteem? Let's not leave them off.
Yeah.
We all have low self-esteem, I think, in some areas of our lives.
Absolutely. What I would say is, first recognition of it, and, being aware of it, and challenging or getting that person to buy in to challenging their thought process. You know, I used to catch myself saying something negative to myself, I used to put a rubber band on my arm and I used to just pop myself just to kind of interrupt that thought process. So I could, you know, say, well, you know what? What is that evidence by? Why am I thinking this way? Sure, I passed this test. 35 other people passed it. Why can't I pass it? So, you know, I just kind of challenge it, the false realities, the false perceptions. And then I just try to reassure myself that even if you don't pass, I mean, you know, you put forth that effort. And if you put forth the effort, you know what? Hey, that's acceptable to me. If you put forth that effort. And 9 times out of 10, this false perception that you have is just that. And if you push through it, you're gonna find that you're a lot better than what you think you are.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something when we were talking earlier about 3 things about yourself that you do well that you can maybe use to enhance your self-esteem.
Well, yeah, they have a lot of different treatment options for people with low self-esteem, or maybe it can be, you know, because it's all about creating that healthy sense of self, that healthy balance. It's an accurate view of yourself, a good opinion of your ability, and recognize your flaws. So everybody has those flaws, but sometimes we don't ground them in reality. And it's hard for us to change that, you know. So some of the things that they do is they have assertive training, like we spoke of before. We talked about cognitive restructuring. We talked about strength exploration. And we talked about gratitude journal. You know, the gratitude journal, basically, you know, you get up in the morning and you just find 3 things that you're thankful about and write them down. It could be little things. Like, I think one of the things that I just stress every morning, I have to do a long drive every morning. Every morning, somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'm saying, you know what, I had a really good drive into work. I mean, you know, I'm feeling good, because the success of getting work are some of the little things, and it kind of starts your day. I didn't have an accident getting here. It wasn't a lot of traffic, and I'm just thankful for that, you know. And so what I'll write some of those things down on a daily basis. Gratitude journal. What are you thankful for? Try to find 3 things that you're thankful for. So those are that you have a long list of treatments that, you know, they talk about assertiveness training. They talk about, keeping your views about yourself realistic and being more resilient and better able to weather the stress that's going to ordinarily come along in life, you know. So it's a process, but it's definitely, with a little work, we can get past that low self-esteem.
Right, right. Keith, you just mentioned a word that I'd like to ask you to elaborate a little bit on, assertiveness mm-hmm. training. Can you give us a little insight on that?
Absolutely. Assertiveness training is expressing your needs and your opinions, right? So a lot of times with low self-esteem, you feel like your opinion doesn't matter. You know, maybe it happened in early childhood where your parents would say, hey, look, you know what, grown folks is talking, get up out of here. you know that old saying, you know.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that's a child. You stay at a child's place. I mean, that's normal, but over time, if that continues, maybe your opinion doesn't matter as much. So the assertiveness training would you know, kind of enable you to be able to express your opinion, to be able to ask for the things that you need. You know, even and being a man, especially a black man, that's hard, you know, because we have a hard time expressing what we need. You know, generally, you know, we would say, hey, you know what, I'm all right. I'm good. I don't need any help. But at the same time, you need help just like everybody else, because no one man is an island. So we need help just as much as everybody else, but it's hard because over the years, we stay away from health care. We said we don't trust getting interventions from a therapist or whatever. And so, yeah, it can be a self-defeating process. And, you know, I was just looking at a study, and it says how COVID affects us, you know, how COVID affects the black community more so than any community. Well, why is that? You know, do we have some, you know, some underlying conditions? Do we not seek medical care? I mean, what is it? I mean, all of those things, I believe, play a factor. So.
Right. Keith, you mentioned another word, too, something about stress testing or something you mentioned a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Stress testing?
I think that's what you mentioned.
Okay. So stress, because stress definitely does play a factor because, I mean, your ability to address stress in your everyday life are affected by your self-esteem. If you got a low self-esteem, you throw something in like, your car stopped on the freeway. You know, that would throw your whole day off balance. You know, just that stressor, that mild stressor for other people will throw your day into a panic. So, yes, and then over the long term, our reactions to stress have an effect on our health. And I think that's the biggest thing that people don't make the connection with. I mean, you know, it puts you in a position where you don't respond well to the flu or the common cold or whatever. A common cold will set you down for weeks because your immune system is not acting, you know, appropriately. So, yeah, so stress can have a huge effect on somebody with a low self-esteem.
Mr. Jennings, we have someone who would like to make a comment or ask a question. Let me know when you'd like me to let them in.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Let them in.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Hello, this is Ron Rogers. Am I on?
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Hello.
All right, good morning. Sir, I'm extremely glad to hear this conversation. I agree with you 110%. One of my things is, though, and I have expressed this before, and I'm homing in on it more so with what you're saying. We need to start this process a lot earlier. We're not in all these homes, and we don't know what kind of conversations go on in there. I've heard because I am old, but I didn't know until I was 40 years old that some of these parents talk the way they do to their kids. And starting out with, I ain't nothing and you ain't going to never be nothing, is not a point that lifts you up. This is something that I think, like you say, we need to start that, especially in the home, but don't overdo it. Because, see, I also see young men, especially, are grown up in single households. We should have a lot more respect for women than we do, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we're also teaching the wrong mess. A woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. We need to instill somewhere down the line that, and excuse the expression, don't turn my son into a punk. But you see what I'm saying? No, he got to be a man. He is a man. So he's got to be a man. He has to understand what it takes to be a man. It's commitment. As you were saying, this is our young men are looking up to the wrong folks as inspiration. And this again is where I go. That's what I pray that the Council of Elders will do. Have Mama to call in and say, I need some help with this boy. And then she either sits down or somebody sits down and listens to our kind of conversation. As Justin said, we want young folks calling in. So I just want to express, I'm right on the numbers with you, sir. And one of the questions I would ask is, how are we going to get to these kids when they're 6, 7, 8 years old with seeming perverted? You know what I'm saying? So thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Ron. That's one of the objectives that we have as the Council of Elders. We will be reaching out, and you know, for the people that want to come out to some events, what have you, that we're going to have. Hopefully, they'll get some tidbits, because what this is about really is changing a generation. Some of the things that we're talking about right now, we may not even see in our lifetimes. Maybe a child that's 5 years old, by the time he gets, you know, an adult, we may or may not be here. But we will have started something with his mother to teach him so that he can go and pass on to his kids and grandkids. And so that's what this effort, part of it, is about.
Absolutely.
Keith, go ahead.
I was thinking about something the caller said, and he said, you know, it's taught in the early home, you know, and some of the messages that we get in the media, you know, and I could see myself in that because sometimes, you know, I used to, in the past, I had a thing about kind of overcompensating for, you know, that low self-esteem, spending too much on items that probably that I couldn't even afford, maybe even seeking validation. You know, those are the type of things that you start seeing, you know, with people with self-esteem issues, you know, and, you know, overcompensating. Maybe we buy too much Gucci or Coach just to make yourself feel better. And along with those media messages on self-esteem, and the media messages kind of teaches you how you should be. You know, maybe we should be thin, or maybe we should be, you know, maybe we should dress a certain way. You know, those messages are constant. You see them every day. And those messages, they play a part in, you know, kind of solidifying that low self-esteem.
Right.
So I agree with the comment. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to make a comment. This is Oscar, your broadcast engineer. And there are some people who seem to have an abundance of it. Your past president apparently had abundance of it. But then people like Lizzo. Lizzo does not fit the mold for what an icon or a music icon should be. But apparently she has lots of self-esteem because she believes in herself. And I think that should be taught early in your life. And if you have parents or a church or some other positive role model in your life, it teaches you to be the best, be all you can be, like the military used to say. Mm-hmm. So that's my comment on it. And I'm going to step back now and let somebody else have a comment.
I kind of agree with what you're saying. I really agree with what you're saying because sometimes we overcompensate. Maybe even that president. I mean, I used to wake up in the morning, I used to be like, what is this guy tweeting about? What is his problem today, right? And I used to really think, well, I had to really focus on it and really kind of think about it and say, you know what? Maybe he didn't get his needs met when he was a child. Maybe there's some parts of him that, you know, maybe he needs, he's crying out for help. But nobody had the balls or the confidence to step up and help him because he surrounds himself with a bunch of yes men. So maybe that's why, I mean, maybe he was just crying out for help and he needed help. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to try to give him an excuse. But at the same time, I would often think about that because nothing else could justify the behavior. So it had to be some
right.
issues there.
Mr. Brooks, may I make a
right.
comment, please?
Absolutely.
Sure. Go ahead, Walt.
Yes, on the topic of developing self-esteem, and our guest for today brought some interesting points up. First of all, it starts with the thought process. I think, therefore I am. Yes, we are to some extent a product of our environment, and our environment does play a part in our social makeup, but it doesn't play a total part. There are other parts that come into play. Being a member of being from a single parent household doesn't make you a failure. A lot of people came from a single family household, and the message is that you start where you are, and where we get off is where do we look for our validation, you know? And the world will throw you a loop because everybody wants to influence how you should be, how you should act, how you should think. But then the word of God has put it into us all. When he created the human being, when he created man, he said it was good. And so that's first of all. God, we already have God's validation. And then he said that he gave to each and every one of us gifts. What we have to do is explore within ourselves and realize what it is that we really like to do or are good at, and then we move from that. Yes, education plays a vital part, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily take an education to be successful, but the statistics say that you're more successful if you have an education. Yeah, but it all starts with that thought process and who you allow to validate who you are. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Good morning, sir. Again, might I interject right there? Always good to hear from the South because you got both feet on the ground. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Absolutely.
This is the kind of thing that I wanted to get in also, but it wasn't time. See, we're individuals. As he said, God created us individually. There is nobody on this earth that is exactly like you. I don't care how much they look like you or sound like you. They're not you. And God gave us that. And with that, he gave us gifts. Use those. The preponderance of the evidence says that if you have an education, you're going to be successful. Well, that doesn't work out for everybody. Everybody don't like education. So one of my good friends told me once before, find something you like to do and do it. If you drive a taxi and you do it enough, you can teach somebody else to do it and get some money off of them. There's too many ways out here. But first, again, like you say, you have to have the self-esteem. I feel, it has to start early and it has to be consistent. You know, we kind of touched on Trump a few minutes ago, and yes, I believe that he was crying out for help, but it's too late to cry out for help when you're president of the United States. You should have been crying out a long time ago. You are not the smartest person in the room. So this, again, is where I say we do have the opportunity, and it's God granted, not to be your father. You don't have to be your father. You can change your destiny if you think about it. And again, sir, you hit on it, and you hit on it right on the head. It's what you think about yourself.
Uh-huh.
It starts right there.
Yeah, we define self-esteem as your overall opinion of yourself, how you feel about your abilities and limitations. When you have healthy self-esteem, you feel good about yourself, and you see yourself as deserving the respect of others. When you have low self-esteem, you put little value on your own opinions and ideas. You might constantly worry that you aren't good enough. Keith, can you give us a little insight about the coping skills? I know this is not exactly on topic of self-esteem, but we talked about it, and maybe you can share a little bit with us about coping skills.
Well, coping skills are basically how we cope with the stressors in our life, how we deal with them. When it gets stressful, what do you do? Do you turn to drinking, or do you turn to do you lash out at other people? So healthy coping skills would be things like maybe it would be prayer. You know, basic things. Maybe it'd be writing down what specific problem that you're having a problem with, journaling about it. Maybe it will be talking to other people, seeking help or feedback from other people. Maybe you just want to be heard by other people. You know, there's a lot of different ways. Maybe I get up in the morning every morning and I exercise to relieve my stress. Maybe I go for a long run. You know, those are coping skills, you know, that are very, very healthy. And that's what we want to kind of utilize to deal with some of the things that are challenges that we come up with. And there's going to be challenges. Everybody's going to have them. But it's just incumbent that we deal with them in a healthy manner.
Right.
Excuse me real quick. Would you consider those coping skills to come down to critical thinking? That's what I used to, and you mentioned that there's a new term for it now, but it's to me, it's also critical thinking. How does your thought process work?
Yeah, the coping skills are a little bit more. I mean, the coping skill has to be something that, you know, so it has to be, thinking is a part of it, but it has to be an act followed up behind it, right? You got to do something to relieve, to bring you down to maybe to bring you to a point where you are not as stressed, or where you can just take a minute and center yourself. So basically, you need something to bring you down so you can think. You will be able to think, you know, because I know when I get stressed out and I'm to the point where I'm at a 6 or 7 on the stress meter, and I'm feeling stressed out, it's hard for me to think at that point. So I just kind of center myself and bring it down a notch. And those are the things that you have to do. You have to do for yourself. And you can't be like, tell them. You have to tell somebody, hey, look, right now, can't deal with that. I have to kind of let me have a chance to breathe, and then maybe I can reassess it and get back in there.
Got too much on my plate.
Job. There you go. And so that's, you know, a lot of people have problems with that, especially if you got low self-esteem. You know, your boss comes at you and say, hey, I need this done. What are you going to do? You're going to be like, okay, boss, I'll do it, no problem.
Right? Now's not the time I need my check, okay?
Ms. Brooks, we have someone who's waiting to get on to make a comment.
Sure, let them in right away.
All right. Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Malcolm Hughes here, calling from outside of Atlanta, Georgia. The issue with self-esteem, sometimes we can have too much, and we got to find a balance between too much self-esteem, like our president may have, and not enough self-esteem. And what I have found with myself personally, I there are not too many times that I've had problems with self-esteem. I probably had the exact opposite. And so what I have had to do is try to dial myself down in my older age and as I mature, and find that my opinion, to let other people express themselves. We talked about not being able to express ourselves, but I'll be in meetings and conferences or whatever, and what I would find myself just, I don't want to say taking over the conversation, but certainly participating and being interactive in the conversation. And so as I've grown older, one of the things that has helped me is I know that we need to let the younger people take over a little bit. And so I will dial back myself in order to let someone else shine a little bit, or the younger people come on, because you can truly have so much self-esteem like the president that you drown out everybody who might have a different opinion. And self-esteem always involves, for me at least, evaluating myself and seeing where I am. Am I too aggressive? Am I too much of an alpha male? And do I need to just pull back a little bit and let someone else express themselves? And so that's one of the issues that come to mind with me. You know, it's just maybe I don't know if I have ADD or just whatever it is, you know, but I've never had a problem expressing myself or anything like that. That's all I got to say.
Right. Well, that's very important input, Malcolm. I guess people come in all levels of self-esteem, from low self-esteem to high self-esteem, and everywhere in between. But what we're trying to do is actually educate people about it, because it's basically something that it's not something that you really get in school, you know, like. When you're in the seventh grade, you don't have courses on, you know, self-development or self-esteem, self-confidence or anything. You just all have to learn all this on your own. And some people have it and some people don't. But the ones that don't, if they were taught about it, perhaps they could learn to enhance their own self-esteem and be, you know, their better self in life. And so that's what we're having this conversation about, and I hope that people who are listening will, you know, research it. You go online and Google self-esteem, and there's a lot of research. And Keith, you had mentioned to me about, let's see, what is it, a self-esteem worksheet or something like that?
Yeah, there's a site online that will be easy to access. It's called Therapist Aid. And basically you can go in and you can get these worksheets, and they'll ask you your questions about yourself. They'll take you through self-visualization. They'll walk you through doing, tell me three good things about yourself. Tell me three things that you want to be in the future that will create a better you. And so it personally challenges you to go into your thinking, and that's basically some of the messages that I've been hearing this morning and for a long time in my personal development. Is about challenging your thinking.
That's what right. The name of that site is Therapist Aid,
AID.
Okay.
They got some really good articles on, and some good exercises for self-esteem, anger, depression, you know, everything, self-exploration, you know, all these things are on that site. So if you go there, you can pick it up and, you know, just kind of work through it yourself. And, you know, definitely I would encourage you to get feedback from others. And, that's a good place to start.
Right.
The name of that site, everybody, let me just spell it for you, is therapistaid.com. therapistaid.com. Therapist Aid is all one word and then .com. Someone wanted to speak?
Yeah, this is Walter again. I just wanted to tag on something that Keith said earlier. And this is still within the realm of self-esteem. And it's dealing with the stress portion of it. Stress will definitely kill you. Just to get to the point.
Absolutely.
It will kill you. And it will definitely inject some bad stuff into your thought processes. However, but Keith said something earlier about being thankful, having an attitude of thankfulness. What we do is we have a tendency to dwell on what we don't have. Most of our attention goes to what we don't have as opposed to what we do have. And that attitude of thankfulness, and it's ironic that I read a devotional just this morning, Keith, that said the same thing about, you said jot down about three things that you're thankful for. And there is, and I can't remember the name of the book now, where the lady, I think it says 10,000, but what she did was at a point in her life, she started this and started going forward, looking at the little things that we often overlook to say, I'm thankful that things are as well as they are because they can always be worse. And so that's
attitude
in itself. And Malcolm hit on it too. We have to get a good balance. And that's where the spiritual part comes in. Because we are a two-part being. We're body and then we're spirit. So we have to have a good balance there. And as we work to get there, this show and the participants on this show have a lot to add, and we as individuals have a lot to add within our sphere of influence, because you are a role model whether you want to be or not, wherever it is that you are. What you do, if you do your best at it, realizing that somebody is watching and somebody will pick up on it. Some will come to you and some won't, but you will have a direct influence on how another person develops within their life simply by being the best you can be within your sphere of influence. Thank you.
Right. I wanted to thank you all.
We have 12 minutes left in the show. And so if anybody would like to make a comment before the end of the show, remember, you're live on the Council of Elders. Press 1, and I will be glad to let you in if Mr. Brooks says so.
Absolutely, and he will say so. I wanted to interject something while you were talking about the spiritual aspect of it, and it's about positive affirmations, whereby you tell yourself positive things, and it tends to have a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Bible says that let the weak say, I am strong.
I am strong. Mm-hmm.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Now, why would the weak, they know they weak, why would they want to say, I am strong? They would want to say it because if they say it enough, they'll start believing it.
Amen.
And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing
right.
by the word of God. I don't want to get in the pulpit today.
You already there.
But you know
already
what? That's so real, though. That's so real. That's so real.
Let the weak say, I am strong. When I first saw that, I'm like, now, why would I want to lie to myself? I know I'm weak. Why would I want to say I'm strong? But like you say, there's a whole field behind it, positive affirmations. And that's something that I know all y'all know about, but if anybody's not familiar with it, you know, positive affirmations is another way of, you know, building self-esteem I have my own method of coping skills, and I meditate for an hour a day on a phrase that I learned a long time ago, and it goes, day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. And since I started doing it about 10 years ago, you know, it's gotten me through a lot. And so,
absolutely.
You know, but it's all based on that, you know, let the weak say, I am strong. The Bible talks about calling things that be not as if they are.
As though they were. Mm-hmm.
As though they were.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why would you want to do that? Because you're setting up visions in your mind, and it tends to, over a period of time, come true.
Speak.
So anyway, that's my 2 cents for the day.
Wait a minute. Let me follow up with that. You speak it into existence, right?
Exactly.
You speak it into existence. So,
exactly.
So basically, if Obama had just said, you know what, if he had went with the status quo and said, hey, look, you know what, there's never going to be a black president in the United States of America. That's my thought. I'm sticking to it. Guess what? There probably would have never been a black president. And so I would have loved to have been around a wall and hear his thoughts to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this, and I don't care what anybody else thinks because it's going to happen. Right?
And self-affirmation is not lying to yourself. Also, that the Word of God says sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You're not lying to yourself. You are encouraging yourself.
That's good.
That's it.
Well, that was when I first read that, Walt.
That was what
I thought. You know, let the weak say I am strong. But then over a period of time, you know, I evolved to where I know what you're talking about. You know.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen.
And again, that's one of those things. Like I said, it's also said. You know, when I'm at my weakest, I'm great. You know. God got me now, because I love that song. I'm going to do what I can, and then I'm just going to stand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
wait.
We got a few more minutes, probably about 8 minutes. let me just give a little bit of update on the Council of Elders that we're forming. We did have a meeting about a week ago, a week and a half ago, at Oscar Bassett's house, about six people. And we will talk about planning, the future of the group here. And this is going to be kind of a prototype group. And right now I'm writing a manual, sort of a owner's manual, if you will, or just a organizational manual, so that I could hand that to somebody and say, okay, go start a council of elders group in Washington, D.C., Walla Walla, Washington, or whatever, you know. And these are the principles of it. But really the principles of the idea that I have is for us to be an organization where people could come to for advice. Maybe they don't have the stable parents. Maybe they their parents are gone now, or maybe their parents might not be able to help them, or maybe they're older and just have questions that, you know, when you get the minds of 10 people together, sometimes they come up with a different answer than if you were just ask one person. So if someone came and had an issue, 10 people discuss it and say, okay, this is what we think. You know, this is what the Council of Elders thinks. It's voluntarily. You don't have to do it, but you might want to try it. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to try to be everything to everybody. If somebody, you know, has a deep psychological problem, we're not going to try to handle it. We're going to say, hey, maybe you should see a psychologist, or if they have a legal problem, maybe you should see a lawyer, you know. But people have, you know, basic everyday questions. And also, we're going to have some events in the community to be talking about the things that we're talking about today. we may take this information for granted, but there's a lot of people that haven't heard about this, and they won't hear about it unless they're told about it. Somebody that maybe they might be 35 or 40 years old and never heard anything about self-esteem, don't know it about building self-esteem. And that's just one item on our agenda, you know. But there are others like financial stability, financial growth, health-wise. Self-esteem is going to be near the top of the list. So we got about 5 minutes or so. Keith, if you have any final thoughts you can share with us, go right ahead.
Yeah, you know what? My thought right now is just let's help somebody be better.
Right.
Let's help somebody be better by being better ourselves. Okay?
Amen.
That's my
final thought. Amen.
Well,
that's my final thought.
You can't help somebody. You can't give what you don't have, can you?
Amen.
You can't. Amen.
Amen. And
no,
again, that gentleman, with that being said, that's the reason I agree so much with Mr. Jensen. Okay, I might not have all the answers. I don't claim to have all the answers. But I can get you to somebody who can give you something that might help you.
Mm-hmm.
So, amen, brother. Help others by trying to help yourself. Lead a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we need to continue to try to develop our own self-esteem. You're not too old to do that.
Amen.
There's resources, particularly on the internet. You know, they got Google now, they got YouTube. And so we can read up on this so that we can perhaps help somebody or just realize that, you know, this person has a self-esteem problem and I'm going to be a little bit more compassionate and trying to guide them. And you could just have a little more understanding about what to say and what not to say. But
Amen.
I don't have a lot more. Does anybody have any closing comments? We got a couple minutes.
Let's just pray on it, brother.
Okay.
Let's just pray on it and get on down.
There you go.
Okay. Well, everybody, I'm going to let Mr. Walter Williams close us out in prayer today. Go ahead, Walt.
Father God, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for all these men who have come together as part of what you have provided for those who do not have. For Lord, may we all be an example of you, for you are the creator, and we are the creation. And everything that you created, you said that it was good. May we use that as a catalyst to know that in each and every one of us, we are somebody. Because we are a child of God.
Of God.
Thank you once again for the Council of Elders and all who are listening. And thank you for the new president-elect, Mr. Joseph Biden. May he be able to deal with the challenges that is going to be ahead of him. And may we as a people help him as he tries to help us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And everybody, you can listen to these broadcasts again if you go to blogtalkradio.com, and then in that browser that they have, you can put in the Council of Elders. We have the logo that's green and white, and the date should be on there. You can tap in and you can listen to that again. Plus, I'll be putting this on my Facebook page. All right, everybody, thanks for listening today. If you didn't get a chance to talk today, call in next week. We'll have another good subject and another good guest. Have a great day, everybody. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
God bless you too, Jansen.
Bye-bye.
And everybody else, too. Have a great day. Amen.